Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Bulky Blue podcast. And before I get into the Chelsea vs Atletico preview, just want to apologise for not doing any podcasts for the last couple of weeks. Things haven't been great and, yeah, I just took some time away. But hopefully this is me back and ready to go. However, things will be a bit different. I'm doing a preview today, but for a while it'll be just a review after each match. It'll be review. So it'll be Sunday evening or Monday, a review for Sheffield, then whoever we play after that, and so on and so forth. After the Atletico review tomorrow, or Thursday, whenever I get the chance to do it. But moving into the preview of the second leg against Atletico, going to be going over Tuchel's press conference. Again, purely in footnotes, not anything detailed, not really any formal quotes or anything like that. Just the basics. Rudiger is set to do his press conference soon. I haven't listened to it, but I'm assuming it'll be very similar to what Tuchel's saying. So, first thing, Tuchel was asked about the Atletico team and stuff like that, and he said, like, and how we're going to perform. And basically, we've got to go into it similar to the first leg with how we approached it. But he also said that Trippier, Carrasco, and Jimenez are back for them, which are three big additions to their squad, starting 11, however you want to look at it. He name dropped Thomas Lamar as well, saying he's really dangerous and that will be a big challenge and that we want to repeat the success we had in the first leg. Saying about the defenders being really reliable, they've been outstanding. He then got asked about the way Atletico set up, like, really defensively. And he turned around and said that every club basically has their DNA, and under Simeone, Atletico's has been very organised, very tough to beat. And with their threat going forward, they're a very complete squad. And I mean, he then turned around and said about the game can change in a split second, whether it's by referee decision, moment of brilliance, and stuff like that. Which, all of which he said above, is so true. The players they've got back will be vital for their squad. It will be a big challenge. We do want to repeat. The defenders have been reliable and outstanding. Every club does have DNA. And what he said about Atletico, in terms of them being dangerous and very complete and can change in a split second, it's all true. Every single thing about it is true. He turned around and said that every team in the last 16 can go on and win the tournament, and that we are in it to win it. Despite the fact we haven't been past the last 16 since we made the 20 semi-finals in 13-14. But who knows? Then Matt Law asked about team news, and he brought up the fact that of the 13 goals we've scored under Tuchel, 6 of them have been scored by Jorginho or Mount, and both of which are suspended tomorrow. And he basically turned around and said, yeah, it's a worry, but we're going to try our best, and no one's blaming anyone for not scoring as many as we want, and it's a team effort, both defensively, offensively, and stuff like that. So he also said that Silva and Tammy are still out, which was expected, and that they should be back after the international break, which is after Sunday, I think that happens. So we play Sheffield and then we're off until April, I think. I'm not 100% sure. He got asked about strikers, like, being given, like, the inconsistency with the strikers lining, like, the offensive lineups and stuff like that. Not where the back's been solid. Midfield's been consistent. And he said that the strikers are constantly in competition with each other and that they need to start firing. And that being at a top club, they can't afford to give them the time to play and wait. And then he said that we've been creating enough, but we've got to be clinical as a team, which every single fan has been saying for weeks, if not months, even before Tuchel came in. The big difference before was we were leaking goals because we were just going, fuck it, let's bomb forward and go for it. And we were weak and leaking at the back. And you got asked how, like, being at home is different or anything like that, and he said it will make us confident that we can get the job done, which, to be fair, it should do, but it's going to be, this match would be a very difficult or different match if fans were allowed in. But then saying that, so with the first leg, if fans were allowed in the stadium, this match would be, I think, a lot easier than it's going to be. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be really, really tough game. It really is. He then got asked a sort of double barrel question. I can't remember who the journo was. He said he was reading articles about Timo, about him wanting to leave, not happy, blah blah blah. And before the guy could even finish the first part of his question, Tuchel was like that he needs to stop reading articles and start reading a book and stuff like that. And he carried on to ask about how Kepa's doing after not getting in the Spain squad. So Tuchel answered the Kepa thing first, saying that Kepa's disappointed. He's not in the Spain squad based, like, because of not really playing for the club, but he knows that it's about Chelsea and not about him. Same as all three of the goalkeepers know, Mendy's number one. And then he turned around and said that Kepa's been a top professional, he has tried his hardest, and etc, etc. And that it's actually, they make it hard for strikers to score in training. And then he then moved on to Werner, saying, like, Werner has got no reason to feel frustrated right now because he's been amazing against Liverpool, was great against Everton and had chances against Everton. And, like, he's basically helping out the team, even though he's not scoring. And he was going on about if he gets the technique and stuff, and this, that and the other right, then the ball will do the work and it will go in, it will work for him. Basically, the sort of stuff you hear all the time, but he's saying it in a way that makes you feel like, yeah, this guy's the real deal. He can get Werner firing. And I believe him. I mean, Werner hasn't been poor. prior to, well, contrary to what some people do actually believe, Werner has not been poor. He's trying. He never gives up. He's making runs, which gives other players space, like against Everton. Some of the space Kai was having was because of Timo's runs. And it's stuff like that that make you sit there and go, he is a very, very crucial part of this team. He's got 19 goals and assists, multiple penalties won, multiple disallowed goals. I know they don't really count, but like, how many times has he hit the woodwork? 5, I think, or 6. How many times has he had a goal disallowed? And a couple of times wrongfully. And how many times has he not been found? Like, he's made the run time and time again, and it's not been played through to him. He is playing well. It's just not going in the net for him. It is that simple. But I'll be getting on to a little issue I have with a couple of the goals we've scored lately that have been ruled out. But before I do that, I'm going to be going over my lineup. So I think it's pretty safe to say Mendy in goal. Our back three picks itself right now with Aspie, Christensen, Rudiger. I think Zuma has looked quite shaky when he's played as a three. And them three that I've just named, Rudiger, Christensen, Aspie, they have been brilliant. They've been nothing short of brilliant either. Like, this revitalized Christensen is blowing my mind. He really is. He's really, really stepped up to the point where does Silva walk back into this team? I don't think he does. I mean, I know Silva's was an injury, but it'll be so harsh to drop Christensen after how he's been playing. Same as Rudiger, same as Aspie. And yeah, I mean, don't fix something that isn't broken, sort of thing. I've got a couple of positions where I'm not really sure on who we'll go with. So it's obviously going to be 3-4-2-1 or 1-2, however you want to play it. But so the four in the midfield is either Rhys or Hudson-Odoi as right wing back. Alonso or Chilwell as left wing back. And then Kante and Kovacic in the middle. The middle two are guaranteed. Kante and Kova. Jorginho and Mount are suspended. So yeah, I think that's pretty nailed on. Kante and Kovacic. It all depends on how much we want to go for it or we want to sit on a 1-0. Because if we want to sit on a 1-0, we play Reece and Chilwell. It's as simple as that. Play our best defenders. Hudson-Odoi will... If we want to go for another goal, Hudson-Odoi and Alonso are the ones we need. Alonso was brilliant against Atletico in the first leg. He wasn't the best player on the pitch, but he was good. As I said, so they're the only positions I'm not sure about. I think I'm not sure about. So Rhys or Cho as right wing back, Alonso or Chilwell as left wing back. Then we move in to the front three. Now, I think it'll be a fluid front three because of who I've gone for. And I think it has the capabilities of causing serious problems for Atletico Madrid. I've gone with Kai Havertz, Timo Werner, and Olivier Giroud. Pulisic and Ziyech haven't done enough for me the last few games to warrant a start. And if things are going well, or even if they're not, and that Atletico backline is tired and we need to break through them and bring the pace on. Yeah, then bring pace on, and Ziyech's passing ability and get through it and whatnot. But to start with, if Kai can sit there and roam in that number 10 role, between the number 10, that's why I said I think fluid, because he can either partner with Giroud and allow Timo to free roam, or he can then drop in as a 10 and allow Timo to free roam with Giroud. And I think with Giroud as the centre point of that front three, I think it'll be magnificent, I think, personally. And yeah, I mean, yeah, it's definitely one to look out for if we play Kai and Timo with Giroud. Giroud does warrant a start because, well, he scored a fantastic winning goal against Atletico. And Kai, I don't think, has done anything to be dropped. Timo has proved time and time again that we do need him. Even without his goals, we need him. And I don't think Ziyech and Pulisic have done enough to be started. So that's the lineup I'd go with. And as I said, when Atletico start getting tired, maybe they win 1-0 on the night. It goes to extra time. So then we need the likes of Pulisic, Ziyech, Hudson-Odoi to come on and make something happen. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely one to keep your eye on, because I was thinking about it as well. If Kante or Kovacic get injured, just for argument's sake, mid-match, who comes on? Jorginho and Mount are suspended. Does he bring on Gilmore? Or does he bring on Hudson-Odoi and put Reece James in the midfield and put Hudson-Odoi right wing back? So that's an interesting question to ask. Going into a score prediction, I'm going to go 2-0 on the night. So 2-0 win, 3-0 on aggregate. And I'm going to go with I'm going to go a bit out there. Aspi and Werner to score. Aspi and Werner to score. Chelsea win 2-0 on the night, 3-0 on aggregate. We go through to the quarterfinals. And knowing our luck, we'll get Bayern Munich. So, or PSG. Well, mind you, yeah, I called PSG actually last podcast. Now I'm going to go into what I was saying about with the disallowed goals we've had lately. So, for those that don't know, against Liverpool, Werner got played through. Now, he finishes the chance off. Brilliant finish. And he was deemed offside because of his arm, or the part of his arm covered by his sleeve. So that indicates that it's a body part he can score with. Right? Because if you can be offside with it, you can score with it. So I don't think it was legit. It got taken off him. 3 days. Was it 3 days later? Or a few days later against Everton. Kai gets the ball crossed into him. The ball hits him between the chest, the shoulder, and the almost identical sleeve position that was deemed offside by Werner. And he buries it. Touch, bang, goal. They ruled it out for handball. So, if that part of your arm is handball, how is it deemed offside with Werner? And it's just one of these questions that has been really bugging me lately. Like, really bugging me. Because it's the inconsistencies. You got defenders running one way. You got attackers running another. And it makes no sense, because you draw the line. Obviously, the arm's going to be offside, because you don't run with your arms by your side. Put it this way, before VAR, that's a perfectly timed run. His arm is offside? Yes. Is his body? No. And they didn't even show where they drew the line from on Robertson. They didn't show Robertson on the screen. They just showed that Werner was deemed offside by his arm. And it's not the first time this season. Like, Bamford was deemed offside because he's pointing where he wants the ball. A couple of weeks ago as well, the same thing happened. Like, why are players being deemed offside by their arm? It's ridiculous. And then by being deemed offside by a part of your arm, which is the sleeve, that indicates you can score with it. Because you can't be offside with a body part you can't score with. Because then if you are, players, like offensive players, then have to be like 2 yards behind the defender. And that's not fair, because it gives defenders a head start. So, I don't know. It's just really, really getting on my nerves. Like, a ball strikes, who was it? It was the Fulham game. I can't remember what it was. But they were robbed of a goal, because the ball hit them point blank in the hand, accidental completely. And they ruled it out for handball. Like, and all of a sudden they go, oh yeah, let's change that rule. But not now. We'll change it at the end of July. So what's the point in changing it? What's the point in even remotely mentioning it now? If you're not going to change it until July. This handball one, or this offside one, is bullshit. Or should I say this arm thing with the sleeve and stuff like that. I think it was one of the London Is Blue guys sitting there going, just wear vests or tank tops. Like, it's ridiculous. Because then also, what if you wear long sleeves? It's completely unfair. If you want to make offsides consistent and fair, go by the feet of the players every time. Go by the feet every time, no matter what. Whether they're leaning one way, their head's in one way or what. No, go from the feet every time, that way it's fair. Not 1 minute, oh, I'm going to draw the line at the feet, then I'm going to draw the line at his head, then his nose, then his fucking left bollock. Like, just do it at the feet every time. That way it's fair. And none of this fucking, oh, he's offside by 2 millimetres. Because that's not an advantage. When it's that close, that's not an advantage. Because that then boils down to the player's speed, the player's reactions, the, like, something that close isn't an advantage. It's just simple as that. And something needs to give. Because with Werner being deemed offside by his arm, or should I say his sleeve, but then Kai Havertz having a goal ruled out for handball when it hit the exact same part, one of those decisions is wrong then. But will referees be held accountable? No, they won't. They never are. And that needs to change as well. But that is going to be where I leave this. If you did enjoy it, please give me a share. Give me a review on Apple, wherever it may be. Because I am on Apple Podcasts now. It's blowing my mind. Follow me on Twitter, at CookCO4. That's COOKEC04. And until next time, guys, blue is the colour and football is the game. Goodbye.